The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenore Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. Viral hepatitis are distinct diseases that affect the liver. They include hepatitis A, B, and C. The World Health Organization estimates that 1.4 million people worldwide are infected with hepatitis A. The virus inflames the liver and leads to acute and chronic disease. WHO says in developing countries with very poor sanitary conditions and hygienic practices, most children have been infected with the virus of hepatitis A before the age of 10. We'll discuss hepatitis on this episode of Health Chat. And joining us via phone from Accra, Ghana is Theobald Owusu-Ansah, president of the Theobald Hepatitis B Foundation and also with the Hepatitis Coalition of Ghana. Mr. Owusu-Ansah, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's good to have you join us today. Also joining us via phone from Kampala, Uganda, is Kenneth Kabagambe. He's executive director of the National Organization for People Living with Hepatitis B, NOPLHB, of Uganda. Mr. Kabagambe, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Let me remind the listeners, if you'd like to participate in the show, you can post your questions or comments on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat, facebook.com/VOA Health Chat, or you can email us at healthchat@voanews.com. And we will discuss hepatitis in a moment with our guests. But first, VOA's Jessica Berman has this report.
A cure for viral hepatitis C was announced recently with great fanfare. An illness that was previously resistant to the best treatments was suddenly vanquished. But medication to fight the liver disease comes with a hefty price tag. The cost of a course of drugs to cure hepatitis C infection is around $80,000, a price most people cannot afford. Another major development is on the horizon, a vaccine that protects against hepatitis C infection. The drug combines an inactive chimpanzee cold virus and a hepatitis protein. It stimulates the production of thousands of key immune system cells to guard against infection with the virus. Eleanor Barnes is a scientist with Oxford University's Medical School in Britain. She says the expensive new drugs may cure hepatitis C, but they don't prevent reinfection with a different strain.
In contrast, a vaccine, if it's effective and it's a good vaccine, can protect patients with one or two injections for the rest of their life. So vaccines really have proved themselves historically to be the very best medicine.
Barnes made her comments in an interview with Science Translational Medicine. This week's edition of the journal includes an article on her work with an international team to develop a hepatitis C vaccine. Different versions of hepatitis C are common in different parts of the world. Barnes says there's evidence that the experimental vaccine may protect against more than one strain of the virus. Vaccines are usually designed to marshal a targeted antibody response to an infection. Antibodies are the immune system's first-line soldiers to recognize a microbial invader and stimulate a broader attack. What's different about her team's vaccine, Barnes says, is that it stimulates a robust T-cell response. T-cells are other weapons in the body's immune system. These fighter cells target multiple parts of the virus. Like HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, the hepatitis C virus mutates quickly, hampering vaccine development. And Barnes says hepatitis C patients, like those infected with HIV, often go to the doctor at a late stage of infection when they start to feel sick.
Many patients will present for the first time to a healthcare physician when their disease is very advanced because the disease is a silent one. Until you get advanced liver disease associated with fibrosis and liver cancer.
So far, the vaccine has undergone early clinical trials, which showed it's safe in people. The research paves the way for more advanced clinical trials in the United States among uninfected intravenous drug users who are at highest risk of contracting the virus. The vaccine causes short-term side effects, including fatigue and migraine headaches. Hepatitis C can also be spread by blood transfusions, sharing razors or toothbrushes with someone who has the disease, or through sexual contact. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
Again, Mr. Owusu Ansah, Mr. Kabagambe, thank you for joining us today. Let me start with you, Mr. Owusu Ansah. Now, in my introduction, I talked about hepatitis A. The report talks about hepatitis C, and your organization is the Hepatitis B Foundation, the Theobald. Now, why are you focusing on hepatitis B? Is it very common? Is this the most common type of hepatitis you will see in Ghana?
Yeah. Thank you, my listeners. Good evening from Ghana. Yeah, Theobald has only concentrated on hepatitis because when it comes to Ghana, most of the people who tested positive are hepatitis B patients. Because hepatitis C is not common here in Africa. Let me say, for Africa, for example, hepatitis C is not common here. So most of the people, the specialists we have in Africa are better who can treat hepatitis B. So in 2006, the fair came to my office, that's the electricity company of Ghana, to do health screening. So lots of people that day, a lot of people tested positive. So, and my family too also tested positive for hepatitis B. So I decided, okay, if hepatitis B is killing a lot of people, we are not aware of it. Then why don't I form an organization called Human Hepatitis B Foundation? And we are going to focus on only hepatitis B, not A, not C, not D. We are going to focus on only the B to educate the public about the D. So the reason why we are focused on the B is because my family and I too are also a victim of the hepatitis. That's why my focus is on hepatitis B, not hepatitis C or A.
Okay. And Mr. Kabagambe, you are also executive director of the National Organization for People Living with Hep B, actually, in Uganda. So what is, in your case, Mr. Owusu spoke about the commonality of hepatitis B in Ghana. Is it the case in Uganda as well?
Yeah, thank you. Good evening from Uganda. My colleague Theobald has explained that similarly in Uganda or Africa as a whole, there is a problem of hepatitis B, actually, because according to the National Sero Survey that was carried out in 2005 in Uganda here, the prevalence of hepatitis B was at 10%, and this is more prevalence compared to that of HIV, because apparently HIV is at 7.3%. And when you look at the awareness levels here in Uganda, the awareness levels are too low. People are very ignorant about hepatitis B. Actually, even the health workers themselves know little knowledge about hepatitis B. So, and as a person who has also lived with hepatitis B, we think hepatitis B is actually a public health concern which needs collective efforts from all the stakeholders. And the reason why we thought of concentrating on hepatitis B, well, we have heard about other outbreaks of hepatitis C in districts of the Karamoja region in Uganda, but that is easily actually addressed because we really just need to tell the population to live in a healthy environment, and issues to do with the proper sanitation. Mm-hmm. But with hepatitis B, it is a challenge because it is almost transmitted like HIV.
Okay, very interesting point. And Mr. Owusu, maybe you can expand a little bit on that, on the transmission of hepatitis B.
Yeah, let me say here, the mode of transmission, I always tell people is like using the letter BBS, the first one is birth, that's for mother to child transmission. In Africa, it's very common here, maybe say Ghana, for example, because I'm speaking from Ghana. So let me say Ghana, for example, Ghana, the mode of transmission is from mother to child transmission. And we have child to child transmission, which is also common. Like if the one child is having the disease and they, maybe they go to school, they are praying, they can transfer the disease to others. Even the study we have done here in Ghana also shows that mother to child transmission is common and child to child transmission also is common. And also the sexual activities to also can also transfer the disease. Because if I'm having the disease, another party is negative, is not protected, or is not vaccinated, I can transmit the disease to him. So I normally use BBS, that's birth, blood, and sex. That's the mode of transmission, birth, blood, and sex.
Okay.
That's BBS.
And Mr. Kabangambe, can you did you want to add anything to that in terms of the rate of new infections in Uganda? You talk about the fact that it's 7%, I believe you mentioned, the rate of HIV/AIDS as to compare to hepatitis B, which is up to 10%. Have you seen that rate increase over the years?
Now, the challenge is that we have not carried out any serial survey apart from that was carried out in 2005. Mm-hmm. And actually, this is a very, very major challenge, and we've been advocating for this. We've been telling Minister of Health to come up with at least another serial survey to, appropriate, we should know is the prevalence of hepatitis B going higher or going low, because it is the only way we can know that it's either going higher or low. But that has not been carried, simply because when you tell the stakeholders responsible, they actually seem to not taking this as a priority. They mm-hmm. they seem to be taking other infections as a priority than hepatitis B.
Okay.
So that has been a major challenge in Uganda.
And have you seen the same in Ghana, Mr. Owusu? The type of challenges?
Yeah, can you come again? The line,
Have you seen the same type of challenges in terms of getting the attention of the authorities, medical authorities and the governments to really help fighting hepatitis B?
Yes, what I can say is we are having a lot of challenges here. We don't have a chance to even to meet the government to explain some of the challenges we are having. Because we, the patient group organization, we have contact with the patient. And a lot of patients even cannot afford the drug, because the drug is very expensive here in Ghana. Not even talk about the kit, the test, that's the viral load test, the liver function. The liver function, let me say, is cheaper, but how many people can afford it? Only few people who can afford the test. And the government, too, is not also coming on board, because they all rely on the donor funds from other governments. But as a country, we can also generate internal funds as a country.
Mm-hmm.
So we can even put some levy on import duty, like a tax levy. That's 1%. The government can also generate something. But here, in the case, government is not doing anything. And right now, I'm talking, we don't have policy in place. When you go to Ghana Health Service, they will tell you we have children and so people who are testing positive, but we don't have evidence to draft the policy. We don't have evidence to draft the policy. So, challenge, we have a lot of challenges. The government is not interested. There's a political will, there's a lack of political will. The government doesn't show any interest to help those who have the disease.
What about in terms of infection rates? Do you have some statistics? Because Mr. Kabangambe was talking about the challenges also in terms of acquiring numbers.
Yes, Ghana, we have, like the case, for example, 2009, 6,837 cases were reported. 121 died from the disease. In 2010, 7,158 cases were also reported, and 102 also died from the disease. 2011, 21,522 cases were reported, and 86 died. 2012, that's 26,470 cases were reported, 52 people died. So you can see from 2009 to 2012, it's increasing. Because 2009 was 6,877. And it rose to 7,158, that's in 2010. In 2011, it rose to 21,522. In 2012, it rose to 26,470.
Okay.
People.
Okay. Okay, this is very interesting. Listen, gentlemen, we have some questions coming in from our listeners, but we have to take a short break. And when we come back, I will share these questions with you and see, and we'll attempt to respond. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight's topic is hepatitis, and we are focusing on hepatitis B. Joining us via phone from Kampala, Uganda, is Kenneth Kabagambe, Executive Director of the National Organization for People Living with Hepatitis B, Kampala, Uganda. Also joining us via phone from Accra, Ghana, is Theobald Owusu Ansah, President of the Theobald Hepatitis B Foundation and Regional Board Member of the World Hepatitis Alliance. Gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us. I have this question from Anita, and she would like to know, she says, I just heard that hepatitis is transmitted via sex. Is it listed as a sexually transmitted disease? Mr. Kabagambe, do you have any knowledge of this? Is hepatitis listed medically? Is it listed as a sexually transmitted disease, or it just happened to be one of the means of transmissions, but it's not a sexually transmitted disease?
No, actually, sexually transmitted, it has been medically researched that hepatitis B is sexually transmitted, but they don't list it as a sexually transmitted disease.
Okay, okay. But given that it seems to be that, at least that's my observation, it seems to me that if HIV/AIDS is receiving so much attention, and at least from my understanding, there is a lot of people who are infected with hepatitis B, and sex is a way of transmission, then do you think that perhaps listing it as an STD, maybe, you know, I know in the medical field there are criteria and everything, but at least raising the awareness the way HIV/AIDS has received attention, what shouldn't hepatitis B receive that much attention?
Yeah, thank you so much. You see, the challenge is that when the international policymakers were actually drafting the Millennium Development Goals, the biggest mistake that they did, I think, they actually ignored viral hepatitis, because if when you look at those the MDGs, you don't see anything to do with the viral hepatitis. But we are very happy with the effort of the World Hepatitis Alliance. A lot of information has been gathered on viral hepatitis. And because if you look at the global burden of disease study that was carried out, was published actually in 2010, it actually indicated that while HIV was killing actually 1.4 million people worldwide, viral hepatitis alone was actually claiming lives of 1.5 million people worldwide. Mm-hmm. So now this actually showed to the global health, policymakers, that hepatitis, viral hepatitis, should also be given the profile like, you know, any other diseases, like, let's say, HIV, diabetes, malaria, and TB, tuberculosis. So I think that is the major challenge why viral hepatitis has not actually received a lot of attention. And you see, when even the development partners also, when they are giving donor funding, they give donor funding in line with the MDG. You know, they don't fund. There are very few who will find them fund at, activities outside the Nigerian government goals. So that is a major challenge that actually viral hepatitis is actually facing globally, not in, only in Uganda, not only in Africa, but globally. Because if you look at even in the United States, it is not actually given also the attention like HIV is given.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yes, please.
Can I add something to what?
Yes, please. Please go ahead, Mr. Owusu.
Yeah, the reason why hepatitis is not getting funded is because most of the donor agencies are not showing into the lack of, let me say, they don't have any interest to sponsor hepatitis. Because when you go to HIV, in Ghana, for example, when you come to Ghana here, a lot of NGOs are concentrated on HIV because they are getting funds from donor agencies. And the government, too, are also getting funds from donor agencies like WHO, World Bank, Global Fund, Bill Gates Foundation. But when it comes to hepatitis, nobody is funding hepatitis. Nobody is individual who are contributing, like my foundation, for example. If you are going to do a program, I have to use my own money to go and buy the kit, pay some of the staff, pay the doctors to go and do the screening. So the funding is like if we have the data. Now, Africa, we don't have data for the hepatitis. Normal people who are infected with the disease. People will just tell you, oh, we have 5,000 people who have been infected with the disease. But there's no evidence. There's no evidence to show, to back your claim.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get evidence to back your claim. Before somebody, you have to make it attractive so that somebody will come. Because when a farmer is coming, is looking for profit. Anybody is looking for profit. And hepatitis, there's no, it's not interest. It's not, they have not made it interest for people to invest in it.
Okay.
They are not making any interest. When it comes to Ghana, the government is not doing anything. He's waiting for somebody to bring his money to do the test and to do something for you. No. You have to take it as your own, as a government, as your own, because those people who are testing positive, those who are positive, they pay tax to you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay tax to donor agency. They are paying tax to you. So you have to make it very attractive so that people will come and invest in it. Because nobody will come and just dump his money without getting any results. No, nobody will do that.
Yeah.
So we have to make it very attractive. So I think hepatitis B, we need funding. We need funding. A lot of people are dying from hepatitis, more than HIV, more than malaria, more than TB, where we have a lot of money or funding going there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. There's definitely a lot of attention on these diseases you just mentioned. Now, we have Musa in Sierra Leone, and he has a question. He says, I was just diagnosed with hepatitis B. What advice can you give me to live a healthy life in addition to taking my medication? Mr. Kabagambe, you can start. Mr. Kabagambe, you can start with an answer.
Yeah, basically, for someone who has viral hepatitis, chronic hepatitis B or C, the most important way of how you can live a better life is visit your doctor, because majority of the people when they get diagnosed. Hepatitis B or hepatitis C, the first thing they rush to is to go for herbal medicine. And the herbal medicine is not actually scientifically proven that it can help the patient, recover from the hepatitis B virus.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to understand is that when someone is diagnosed with hepatitis B, in most people, they will actually live with the infection for life. If your doctor advises you not to the treatment, which is actually the same as that of HIV patients, the ARV, you can abstain from taking certain foods that can risk your liver from getting damaged. For example, you're not supposed to take alcohol. You're supposed to avoid things that are going to make your liver overwork. You need to actually regulate the amount of protein that you take. You're supposed to also take a lot of fruits and vegetables, greens, to ensure that your liver is, I mean, it can live healthy. Then apparently, there are some other products that can help your liver, fight the virus from not, getting to those other complications. There is selenium. Selenium is a trace mineral that has been approved by research that if hepatitis B patients can take it, it can actually help them, live a healthy life even when they have the virus of hepatitis.
Okay. And let's say, for example, I guess one of the questions here also is to find out if a hepatitis B patient is contagious. At what point is he or she contagious? At what point is she or he not contagious? Can you talk about that, really, so to give us a clear and understanding, given that this is a condition that someone will live with for the rest of their lives, how will the partner protect themselves? Mr. Wusu, can you react to that?
Okay. What I can say is that hepatitis B, I don't know, normally tell people hepatitis B is not a death sentence. It's like managing diabetes. You can also manage hepatitis. When the viral load is high, because the virus, when you use the copies, they multiply in copies. When the viral load is high, let me say from 50,000 going, that person can infect someone with the virus.
Okay.
And if the other person will have a weak immune system, they'll miss it because one out of 10 adults can get the virus. And nine out of ten children can also get the virus. So if your immune system is not strong, because in all the cases where one party will have the virus, other party doesn't have it, it's because that other party has been in contact with the virus, but within 6 months, his body is able to clear the virus from the system.
Okay.
And your body is able to clear the virus from your system, and that person doesn't need any medication, doesn't need any treatment, doesn't need anything. Just that the body, you have to do certain things to boost the immune system so that they can fight the virus for you. You don't have to be taking medicine because you are HIV chronic hepatitis. No, it depends if the liver is sick, it depends if the virus is low, maybe the virus is 100 copies, 50 copies, 20 copies. It doesn't need any medication. What you have to do is you have to change your lifestyle. You have to make sure that it doesn't do certain, that will help the liver. I would always tell people, if you hurt the liver too will hurt you. So I have to love your liver and live longer.
Okay. And Mr. Kabagambe, could you react to how one will protect himself or herself if your partner has hepatitis B?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to give an example of my own self, because my wife is hepatitis B negative. She's actually negative. And I'm positive. So what happened is that the person who's negative, if there are two partners that are discordant, one who's negative is supposed to be vaccinated because there is an effective vaccine that has been approved by WHO,
mm-hmm.
which protects one's life if you take the doses, in the correct schedule. So the other partner who's negative is supposed to be vaccinated. Then after the vaccination, you should actually also clean the whole family and see if those other people that are not exposed to the infection, they can also get vaccinated. So, life will keep on. You don't need to separate, or maybe to divorce and, cause a lot of chaos, because one partner is either positive and the other is negative. What you need to understand is that you can live even with, you can stay, a couple, you can even stay in a relationship as long as you agree on the other one being, vaccinated, and after all, if one is already infected and the other partner is not infected, you need to protect the other partner
from getting
the virus.
Okay.
So just need to go ahead and get vaccinated.
So prevention is possible. And on this note, because we're out of time, I have to leave it there. Mr. Kenneth Kabagambe, thank you so much for joining us. Mr. Owusu Ansah, we appreciate your time from Ghana. Thank you both. And thanks to you for joining us today, our listeners. And as usual, you can join us on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat to keep the conversation going. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.